This is Pastor Derry Moten from Abundant Life Worship Center. Welcome to our weekly podcast. Today's message is by Pastor Edward Anderson, and he continues his message, I Have Been Given the Kingdom. This is part two of his message. So listen close, take some notes, and we'll see you at the end of this broadcast.
Wonderful and glorious word. I pray it come to enrich the lives of your people, God, to edify and to encourage them, God, to lead them to the divine destiny in you. We thank you for the privilege, God, just giving us the word to lead us into what you want us to be. Take me out of myself that the Holy Spirit may use me, God, to bring glory to your wonderful and divine names. Give each person here listening ears to hear your word, a heart to embrace the reality, and then faith to move out in it. We thank you now and declare and decree it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear that prophetic word she gave? I hope she took her time with it, didn't rush. Because sometimes we figure, okay, I've got a program, I got to speak. That's like a worship. Really, God wasn't through, but we had it, you know, because y'all wasn't ready for that yet. Worship is something deep. When you really get to that place in worship, you forget about everybody in your household, everybody around you, just go into it. And what worship does, this is key. The Bible says that the enemy, you know your enemy, he brings accusation against you day and night. He just talk about you. Dad, what you think you're doing? What, you think you're serving God? Well, if Pastor Derry goes just to worship him, the enemy going to take his eyes off him, because why would the enemy put attention back to him if he worshiping him? So worship silenced the enemy and the foe. It kept off every accusation against you. And if you look at the way that the tabernacle was built on the external, it was worship and praise taken there. They were getting things right before God. And let me tell you something. What do you think you're going to be doing in heaven? You're not going to be there mowing the lawn, painting your house. You're going to be there giving God what's due him as praise and worship and adoration. So we might as well get practice in here, amen? Get practice. Get practice. If you have your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android device, whatever you have, turn to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to continue this message I started. I have been given, ... the kingdom. I have been given the kingdom. The kingdom. I have been given the kingdom. Mark chapter 1. I like them pages turning. I've been studying your word a little bit. Mark chapter 1 says this, verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into the Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. First thing Jesus did when he came on the scene was do what? He preached the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So the first thing that Jesus did when he got on the scene was he did what? He preached the gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news. And we need some good news around here. Amen? So Jesus knew that. He came on the scene preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. If you go to Matthew chapter 6 later on, his disciples asked him, Lord, how do I pray? Teach me how to pray. The first thing he said in verse 7, he says, Lord, pray this way. He said, pray the kingdom of God come. God's kingdom needs to come. But he said, pray thy kingdom come where? In earth as it is in heaven. You know what that means? There's no confusion in heaven. There's no chaos. It's nothing but pure love. I ain't talking about that phony love. You know, I love you. I love you. But inside, you ever seen the cartoons, a little bubble top? Inside saying, I don't like you really, but The kingdom is love. Real love. Not fake love. You ever get a, where the ladies at? Y'all like diamonds? Yeah. You do? You ever get a fake diamond called a cubic zirconia? You probably threw it back at your husband, huh? Nobody like anything fake around here. You know, when I used to date, prior to meeting my wonderful wife, I had this thing I would go through. I will go out with her, and you know, they want to put their best face forward. Makeup on, everything, right? I was like, man, she look good, man. But I got to see something about her, though. So what I would do, I have to go to a sneak up date. What that is? I'll sneak up to your house while you're not ready for me. Ring your doorbell. I want to see what you look like without that makeup on. Sneak up. And that's what God's saying. Don't have any fake love around here. Have true, pure love coming from the heart. Because guess what? God's love wasn't fake. It was true. And he demonstrated his love while we were yet goofed up, messed up. He died for us. Not when we were perfect or we were messed up. He died for us. So Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. Let me define what the kingdom is. If you have your notepad, the kingdom of God is the rule of God or the realm or place where God is in control and his will is fulfilled. So wherever God is in control and his will is being fulfilled, that is the kingdom of God. You get that? Did you get that? I'll say it again. The kingdom of God is the rule of God or the realm or place where God is in control and his will is fulfilled. So wherever God is in control and his will is being fulfilled, that is the kingdom of God. Well, when you think about a kingdom, you must think about rules and regulations. Whenever there's a kingdom, there must be rules and regulations, laws, ordinances, put in place to govern the people. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos, anarchy, and disorder. In God's kingdom, God gave those laws to protect us. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. He gave those laws to protect us and to show us that how far we were from him's holy ordinances. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou what mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what? Die. He did what? He put regulations there because he knows what's good for us and what's not good for us. Right? Because God wants your best in life. He says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think, a thought I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to do what? To give you an expected end. God's end for your life is a beautiful thing. And right now what you're going through is like, well, Lord, when am I going to get there? Well, keep in mind, God got all the time in the world. God's about perfecting you. And if you don't get it right the first time, someone said that he'll take that clay, put it back on that stencil again, and he'll get in the shape you again. He'll start all over again. Because God is a God who will complete the work that he begun in you. Do you believe that? Amen. And the law was given also not so much for you to follow, because you couldn't follow it. Because the more he gave you, the more you broke it. Let me give you proof text. Go to Romans chapter 3. Now, I'm not saying just you broke it. I broke it too, several times. Because I can't keep God holy. But God gave me a remedy for this, and it was Jesus Christ. So the law was given to protect you, and the law was given to show you how goofed up you really were. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For what? By the law is the knowledge of sin. So see, when God gave the law, it showed you, hey, look, this is my holy ordinances, and you're trying to follow them. You can't do it. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 says, for what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So the law was given to expose us to how offline we were from God's perfect will for our lives right now. You know, in the kingdom, there's rules and regulations, and there's many different types of kingdoms. We have a kingdom here in the United States. We have a kingdom all over the world. And when I visit a certain country, here locally, though, I took the BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. Anybody take BART before? And BART, so I went to a different country. I thought they had the same BART system. You know how we get on BART? We just push in. We just rush in, right? Forget being polite. When if a lady come have a seat, you can forget that. It's like every man for himself. I'm saying, you been on BART lately? They'll push you out the way. Well, I went to United Arab Emirates, my favorite place in the world, and they got this thing called the Metro. It's just like BART. So I thought. They had the same signs up, same stops. They'll say, hey, next station is such and such, right? So I was like, I got this down. So I went to this place because I wanted to go watch the golf tournament. So I got on the Metro when I went there. Now, I didn't pay attention because I'm used to BART. Just get on in there, right? So on the way back, I went to this platform over here. And I'm just here with a bunch of ladies. Now, I don't read too well. Y'all know I teach Ebonics, right? Well, I sat there, and we all went in, right? And they start screaming at me. I was like, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong country. No, don't do that, Ed, okay. But one thing I didn't do, I should have looked up right there and said, women's only. See, I'm in a foreign territory. I'm in a different kingdom. I'm thinking I should operate the same way I did here in the States in a different country. But in that country, they have this thing called Sharia law. Whew. Hey, I made it back. Because some folks don't make it back. But in the kingdom, you got to understand that there's different rules and regulations for a reason. They're there to govern you. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Let me give you proof text. There are different kingdoms in the world. Different kingdoms. Different kingdoms in the earth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. It says, and the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So there's a kingdom in the earth that we operated from prior to going to the kingdom of God. And sometimes, unfortunately, we take that kingdom into this kingdom. We take everything we learned in that kingdom and try to operate that kingdom in God's kingdom. Doesn't work. Let me give you an example. In heaven, there was rebellion. Doesn't work in that kingdom. We see rebellion all the time in God's kingdom. In the church, people rebel all the time. That's not God's kingdom, though. What it was somebody came out of the kingdom, trying to bring that kingdom into God's kingdom. It doesn't work. Now what's God going to do? He's going to correct that before we can go on. Why? Because God is a God of order. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to give you some scripture today. I know last week I didn't give you much, but today I'm going to give you some word. Amen? Amen. The kingdom of God rules over all. The kingdom. You got to know that there's kingdoms in this earth realm. Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet. Now, we don't use that word on a natural vernacular, but that word simply means fit, able, or capable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and had did what? He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So you see, there was a divine transfer. Once you accepted Christ, you left the kingdom of darkness and came into the kingdom of God. You transferred your kingdomship. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God and what it is and what it is not. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not that. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Meat or drink is not based upon human effort. is based solely upon the righteousness of God that he gave to us by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, it says, for by the grace of God you are saved. Not of yourselves, lest anybody here boast. But it was what? It was a gift of God. A gift. A free gift, by the way. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't pay for it. Free gift. You know, it says righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God is, right? Christians have peace beyond comprehension. We should have peace when everything else around us is falling apart. You know, when I was a college student, and I was a 33-year college student, I'm still trying to get there, I took several jobs. And one of my jobs, I worked at this place called Carter Harley Hale. Yeah, I said, what is that place? Let me break it down to you for other folks. Emporium Capwells. Anybody know about Emporium Capwells? Okay, Emporium Capwells. Young folks are like, well, Emporium, who? They used to Saks Fifth Avenue, I know. But I worked there. And I worked there, and I worked somewhere else too. I was just like a store clerk. I was like a stock hand there. I said, you know what? I want to work my way up because I'm tired of doing two jobs. I worked in Santa Cruz Mountains at the Lee there, go to school, then go back at nighttime to go there. I was like, no, I can't do this, Lord. I said, what can I do to make a better earning? He said, well, go into sales. So I said, okay, that's what I'll do. So I learned how to stock those shoes in the shoe sales department, right? I was stocking them up good. I said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I want to be a salesperson. So what I learned very carefully is that I've seen some feet in my life. And, I've seen some feet in my life. So, Jesus, you remember he washed his feet? I've seen some feet in my life. So I learned a technique, Brother LaJuan. Now, this is before I met my wife. So I said, okay, she's fine. I know her feet gonna look good, right? So I'll go over there, and I take off her shoes. I see the feet, I go, oh, here you go. I'll give the shoehorn, and I walk away. Hey, lesson learned. Don't let the face fool you. Yeah, feet are important. Feet are important. Why are they important? Because Jesus said that there's armor that God gives us, amen? And one part of the armor is that you said that your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And wherever you go, you should bring peace and not turmoil. Peace, the peace of God. Change your shoes. And I found out working in that shoe department that some women, they don't care if the shoe don't fit. They want to put it on. If it looks like they're going to put it on no matter what. And I'm trying to tell them, hey, sometime you're going to be in pain later on. And you can always tell they're in pain because they go from walking to just tipping. Wrong shoes, baby. And if you watch it for a long time, because I had the same repeat customers, you know, they came back one time, their feet was okay. Later on, they had bunions and corns, all kind of stuff. I'm like, you know what? I told you about them shoes. And I was like, man, if them shoes can only talk, they was like, get off of me. But God say, you ought to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes. That means where I'm going in conflict at, if I see it at my work, I'm bringing peace there. Yes. I'm not going to add to the conflict. I'm going to bring peace. Yes. Why? Because God said, I should bring peace where I go. When Jesus came on the scene, he brought peace wherever he went. How do I know that? He said, I brought the gospel of the kingdom. Yes. The gospel of the kingdom. And sometimes we can be so hard in life, and like our feet, we get calluses on our feet. Or we can get something on our feet that just don't look right. Well, God got a remedy for that too. I learned something through my wife. I never in my life got a pedicure until I met my wife. And now, I think I OD on pedicures. Everybody in the shop know my name. They do. Everybody in the shop know my name. I go and I sit back and relax. Now you can tell if you got some bad feet. You can tell real quick when you get in that shop. If they come over to you First thing I'm going to tell you is they're going to say, soak your feet in here for a while. Soak your feet for a while, right? Because you got to get the calluses nice and soft, right? Okay. So you're going to soak for a little while. Because this is what God, God's trying to soften your heart. So he said, put your feet in the water just for a little while. I'm going to soften them up a little bit. But when they come to you and they got a team coming with them, and they talk a different language, it's not tongues, you got feet problem. And they're trying to get the calluses off. They're trying to get it where you're able to walk without having pain. That's what God is trying to do for your heart. He's trying to take all those calluses off your heart. Get you to a place where there's been pain from the past. He said, you know what? I'll soften that if you just give it to me. Come on, dwell with me. That's, you know, when you get that pedicure, it's intimate. It's just you and that person right there. They're taking care of you. That's the way God wants to take care of you as well, too. He wants to take care of you. Now, this righteousness, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? The kingdom first and his righteousness. You know, when I grew up, man, I couldn't understand about the righteousness of God. I didn't understand. I thought you had to keep on working and do certain things in order to get right with God. So I would just go there and just go to church and just try to do my best. And my best was never good enough. No one ever explained to me, what is the righteousness of God? You know, is it a deposit I get? What do I have to do to make myself right with God? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Righteousness. Verse 30. We said earlier that nothing we can do can please God except for accepting Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, but of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So God gives us the righteousness that came from Jesus Christ. See, all those rules and regulations that we couldn't do, he did for us. And then he passed along to us. What kind of love is that? We couldn't do it. He said, you know what? My son gonna come do it for you. And he passed it along for you. But the kingdom is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace. Peace. I said, you never have peace unless you meet the Prince of Peace. Once you meet the Prince of Peace, you're going to have peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, first thing how you get peace, you got to make peace with God. Make peace with God, and then in Philippians it says, then you get the peace of God. What a transition that is. But the first step is making peace with God. How do you do that? Well, you got to acknowledge that I'm so far from God, I need to connect back with God. God's a loving God, whether you know it or not. Even when we mess up, God is in hot pursuit of you. When Adam messed up, he said, Adam, where are you? God knew he messed up, but he's still trying to pursue him. God has a love that's beyond comprehension. Now, we embrace that love or we reject that love. That's up to you. God won't force your hand on it, but he will pursue you. Well, he wants to pursue him through us. Through us. But do we demonstrate the kingdom correctly to the world? You know, I've been tested, so God don't need to test me. I'm going to tell you that now, because God knows about me. But God let me go through tests to see where I stand with him. And I had a situation with a pizza lady. I don't know why I get in trouble with pizza folks. But my wife ordered a pizza, and I heard her order it. I heard her talk to the lady on the phone. So she said, 15 minutes. So I said, okay, Leah, let's get in the car. We'll get there early. And we get there. The lady said, I don't see your name anywhere. Uh-oh. We got a problem here. We got a problem. And really, the problem is not with her. It's not. See, God's going to allow her to see where I stand. That's all he's going to do. He's going to allow her to see where I stand. See, he's trying to show me my heart. And the first thing I did, I about to rise up on it there, but I had to live there because you got to show an example to your kids, right? And plus the Holy Spirit on the inside said, just be quiet. So I went there and I asked her, I said, we ordered a pizza. I don't see it anywhere. She's kind of snippet, but I said, okay, I'll back off. Be slow to speak, swift to hear. So I went away. My wife calls back and she dealt with it. I get round two now. I got to go back again and see what happens this time with me. I go back in. See, when you do things God's way, there's a blessing awaiting you. It's just waiting for you. I'm getting ready to pay for the pizza. Guess what she says? It's on the house. It's on the house. All depends on how you handle your situation. Because God is watching you. They went through the wilderness, and they were tempted in every way possible. But they murmured and complained all the way through. Are you murmuring and complaining about what you're going through? I mean, that's a question you got to ask yourself. Am I murmuring about what I'm going through? Now, you think God didn't know you can go through this and handle it? I mean, we're talking about a God who knows the universe. He says, I know, I don't have any hair on my head, but he knows the hairs on your head. So you don't think he knows how much you can take, how much pressure you can take? Go through it. But go through it with joy. Because the joy of the Lord is part of the kingdom. The joy of the Lord, that gives you strength. God's joy is unspeakable. And it's full of glory. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy. Where does your joy lie at? Do it lie with a basketball team when they're losing and disappoint you? Or does your joy lie in something that will never change or be altered? Jesus Christ. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's consistent in his nature. But again, one thing about the kingdom, there are laws governing that kingdom. Number one law is the law of love. Law of love. I'm not talking about this transitory love. I'm talking about deep love. You know, I'm quite sure Pastor Derry knows he's done pretty a lot of weddings. There's some things that we say, for better or for worse. For some folks, it ain't got to get better. It's got to be uneasy, and they gone. For better, for worse. For better, for worse. Have you noticed about your friends in the kingdom when it got a little bad for them? They left? Was it real love? They left the one who was ready to save their souls because they didn't define what true love is. Let's define true love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I better speed up here. 1 Corinthians 13. We know that's a love chapter, right? The love chapter. I'm in love. Tina Turner said something that I just can't stand. What's love got to do with it? Yeah. Everything. Yeah. He died because he loved us. So love, everything has to do with love concerning the kingdom of God. What's love got to do with it? Everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love chapter. Beginning in verse 4, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Never. Let me tell you what it means naturally. So Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all. Love believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love. John says something very interesting about love. And I'm going to read it to you, then I'm going to close. In 1 John chapter 4, you can read it when you get home. Read the whole chapter. Beginning in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. We're going to drop down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. I'm going to say that again. He that saith, I love God, and hateth my brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Love. The law that operates the kingdom. You can't function effectively without love. If you get married and one spouse don't love the other one, you have division, anarchy, and chaos in your home. So in the kingdom of God, if the brethren are not loving each other, you're going to have confusion. You're going to have anarchy. And you're going to have chaos. You're not going to grow in God's grace like God wants us to. When Jesus was doing the communion, he was explaining to his disciples about the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine. And they didn't understand what he was talking about. And one of the verses says that he turned to him and said, does this offend you? He said, does this, what I'm talking about, offend you? Now, isn't that what we should do as brothers? Did I offend you? What I said, did that offend you? Why can't we go? The Bible says very clear, if I have an ought with my brother or sister, I should go to them. No, we want to run to Jesus, be all in his face, and forget about what I did to my sister. I love you, Jesus. He's not hearing you. He told you the instruction before you come to the altar. Leave the gift there and then go reconcile. And when you reconcile, you can hear better at the altar what God wants to say. Because really, he's not talking a whole lot. You might think you're having deep fellowship, but you're not. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not, because God's word says you can't be. If you have aught against your brother, go reconcile. The ministry that God gave us all was a ministry of reconciliation. We're trying to reconcile lost man back to God, but how about reconciling lost man back to man? The cross was vertical or horizontal for a reason. You know why? Because God said in Romans, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. See, I thought I was perfect before I got married. I thought I had no flaws. I thought I was just the man. I thought it was Jesus and me. Who you want to crucify, Lord? Me or Jesus? Because we're the same. Then I got married. My wife exposed everything about me. I was like, and it got me mad. But God used my wife, and now he used my daughter as tools and instruments to say, you got a long way to go, son. Will you accept that correcting? Or you just cut off, I don't want to hear that junk. Why do you think God gave you that spouse for? To see things that you can't see. Yeah, I see things. She sees things that I can't see. And God always uses his word to correct me in that area. So I thank God for my wife. When we first got married, I wasn't thinking that much when we first got married. Oh, no, I was like mad. I'm like, okay, where's the escape clause in this contract? You know, hey, we got to get out of here, brother. This ain't working. I told you about our honeymoon, our second honeymoon. It was our second honeymoon, boy. Her and Flipper had a date, right? You know who Flipper is, right? The dolphins. I'm afraid of dolphins. I'm afraid of water and deep stuff. So again, she exposed my weakness. She exposed my weakness, right? But I got mad because I'm not swimming with Flipper or nobody else. So I put a stall tax to get the thing. She's going through the jungle all happy and swinging the thing. I knew it was closed. And then we got into it. But see, you know what? God was allowing her to show me my weakness, and it was fear. It didn't just stop there. We went to Canada one year. Oh, Lord. I don't know what this woman's about. We up on this gondola, and I mean, we way up there. And she wanted to smile, take pictures, and all. I'm like, baby, this thing's swinging. It got bears down there, Pastor Derry. It was bears down there. And here she go. Come on, baby. I was like, please, sweetheart, let's get on the ground, some safety. What did God do? God is using her to alleviate some of my fears. And if you take it the right way, that correction, it'll be good for you. It'll be a good thing when you allow for your spouse or your child to correct you. Ain't nothing like a child correcting you. You ever see a child correct an adult? We get mad. We like, what you say? You know, we'll jump all over them. We know we wrong. Then the word hits me. It says, don't provoke her to anger. That's what the word says. See, you get a lot of word to operate in your life. Not your human emotions, the word. The word of God is the answer for everything in life. Everything. Broken relationships, it's the answer. Lacking scarcity is the answer. Poverty is the answer. That's why Christ came on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because he knew the kingdom of God. If you allow it to rule a world, you have nothing to worry about, because God is in complete and sovereign control over every aspect of your life. I don't care what it is. He's in control. Will you obey him? Will you walk the way he wants you to walk? Will you talk? Will you go where he tells you to go? And I'm telling you, I had struggles with that. I knew God's plan for my life. It was all laid out for me at 13 years old. I want you to be a preacher. Not me. Now, I don't understand that when a holy God tells you where your life should be going and you say no to it. I want to do this, Lord. Crazy. Just crazy, that's all. I had football in the brain. You know, I don't know what it was. Probably got hit too much in the head. I don't know. But God has outlined my life for me. And it was funny. 40 years later, what am I doing? Preaching the gospel. I'm behind schedule because why? I did my own thing first. But I like his word. He says that I'm going to complete the work, son, in your life. You can go run if you want to. I said, Lord, I'm never going back to Oakland. Where I live at? Live in Oakland. Don't tell God what you're not going to do. It's best to obey, because he knows better than you. Yes. Playing football. Let me get this. I'm going to close out. I thought I was the baddest dude on the field. I had to prove it to my wife, right? Now, I got mad at God because he wouldn't let me play. I went to the University of Washington. And I'm like, you know what? I'm one step from the pros. I'm one step, Lord. Just one. I'm almost there. Everybody in front of me, they're seniors. They're going to graduate. And each one went pro. Each one. But I was better than all of them. For some reason, God gave me strength. I don't know why. I was the strongest guy probably on the team. Small as I am. Kind of like Samson. But I got there. I was a walk-on. Because you know why? I was arrogant and proud. I only had one school in mind I wanted to go to. It was Oklahoma. Forget everybody else. Forget them. I don't know about Oklahoma's going to be on TV. I got to be on TV. Guess what? I hurt my knee. Nobody gave me a scholarship. So now I'm mad. But keep in mind, God told me, I don't want you playing football. But of course, my rebellion, I kept going. And my coach didn't understand it. He had no clue why nobody gave me a scholarship. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get you in the University of Washington. That's where I came from. I know the coach real well. So he did. I got to walk on. And keep in mind, God's not going to take your talent from you. He wants you to surrender to him. So I get there, and I'm progressing, LaJuan. I can see NFL. I'm smiling. My face is bigger now. And guess what? He said, you know what? I got there. We gave her our last scholarship. I'm getting mad now. I'm getting mad at God. Why? This is dumb, isn't it? I got mad at God. He already told me he shouldn't be there to begin with. Don't make kind of sense. Goofy. That's what we are, goofy sometimes. But I'm still going to go. Coach calls me in the office and said, look, if your dad can just pay for one semester, I'll get you a scholarship. I'm happy now. I got this in the bag, right? I call home. My dad lost his job. So now I'm mad at God for sure. I'm really mad now. Now, they went to the Rose Bowl, one of the biggest games you can play in college football. Where am I at? I'm mad at God. I transferred. I say, forget this stuff. I'm done. So I get back home, time goes on. I meet my wife. I tell her how good I was in football. She goes, yeah, right. What do you mean, yeah, right? I'm good. I'm All-American. So my brother played pro football. I said, your brother? Which one? She said, that one? I said, that one? That little one right there? I had no evidence to prove to her that I played football. I'm going to the library looking at all my, I went to every library around town. Because guess what? I threw all my stuff away. I was so mad at God. I threw it away. I went to the library today. They had one clip of me. I'm like, okay, Lord, that's it. I give it up. I give it up. I give it up. And when I did, when I finally gave it up, I had the peace of God. Once you walk in the center of God's will, there's peace beyond comprehension. When you're outside the will of God, there's confusion and every evil work. You're going to do things that you shouldn't be doing. Because why? You're outside the parameters of God's perfect will for your life. And how did God get me back in? Through his love. He didn't force me in. He always waited me to do what? To surrender it all to him. Like worship, worship was us giving us back to God. All God wants us to do is to give ourselves to him. It was a song, I give myself away. I give myself away. You can use me, Lord. You can use me. Can God use you? In his kingdom. We ought to take God's kingdom outside the parameters of these walls. Take him to your family, your friends, your associates, your acquaintance, your co-workers, your community, your neighborhood. Take God's kingdom. And remember this one thing. The kingdom of God operates through love. And this, and the word says that by our love, they'll know we're Christians. By our love, one for another. Amen? Amen. God is good, saints. All the time. We really can't comprehend God's goodness because we, at this level sometime. But if you get to that next level that God's trying to take us to, you begin to experience the love that God's trying to show us on a daily basis. You might be here today and say, man, I don't understand none of that love stuff. I have no clue what you're talking about. I never experienced that. I go to church all the time, but I never really understood about Jesus. Well, let me explain to you about Jesus. God knew in his infinite wisdom that no man can uphold his standards. So he sent his son here to represent humanity. And what he did, he went through everything that you'll ever go through in life. All your pain, all your suffering. Every test, trial you go through, he went through it. So that way he went through it to identify with you. Through your weaknesses, through our failures. And when he did that, he had to die, though, in my place and in your place. So when you believe that he did that for you and you confess it to your mouth, at that point, salvation kicks in.
Hey, you've been listening to Pastor Edward Anderson with his message titled, I Have Been Given the Kingdom, Part 2. For more information on teaching tapes by myself, Pastor Derry Moten, or any of the other ministers here at Abundant Life Worship Center, please check out our website at www.alwc.us. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.